This is the place to fight a cause for feathers, hooves, and those lovable paws. This is the place to hear it out. Animals matter, animals count. If you want to debate, you want to support, have your say on animal laws. Here's the show, please in the know. Give us your thoughts with a pause calls.
To the Pause Cause live worldwide. Thank you to the people of blogtalkradio.com for working so hard to bring us this awesome technology. Welcome to our 47th show, Daycare Gone Dog Wild. I am Lee Foster, your host, along with the Pause Cause pets, Ufe Akamel and Macias. We are so glad you could be with us today. Before we get started, the chat room is up and running for the listeners who want to ask questions if you don't want to call in. To enter the chat room, just click on the link that says chat room is open and be sure to register. It is free and you can get friends to join in and listen to your favorite shows, or they can find their own favorite shows on the internet to entertain them. Our phone lines are also open. So call that number that is on your screen and join in on the fun. All you have to do to listen is just click right on that logo, blogtalkradio.com, right underneath my logo. Next week, we will have Roverlution leader Dr. Paula Terrify with us. And it's going to be the same time and same place. That's going to be Saturday, November 3rd at 7 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA at www.blogtalkradio.com/thepausecause. Changing those S's to Z's, please. We will be discussing breed-specific legislation, the Roverlution March, and her newest adventures in ebook writing. It will be an exciting show, so be sure to tune in and have those questions ready. And don't forget that famous hat of Maria Danes is on auction right now on eBay. And for more information on that, please visit www.harpseals.org/help/SLASH auction.html. And let's help save those seals. And right now, let's have a sponsor's ad while we get warmed up and get ready to join our guest, Richard Witherill. When we come back, we'll have him online with us.
Are you curious about how to take care of your pet naturally? Are you looking for a great disc CD information out there? Perhaps a course by a veterinarian that you know and trust? Well, there's someone that I know and trust that just put out a brand new information on taking care of your pet naturally. Dr. Sean Mezenay. He's been a guest on the Pause Cause several different times and now has for 20 $9.99 available to you, the public, his very own course on natural pet health. To find out more, please go to www.petcarenaturally.com and be sure you let him know Pause Cause sent you. Pet Togethers has Vim and Vigor for your pet. Dr. Sean recommends this stuff. So please visit www.pettogethers.net/thepausecause with Z's and not S's. Be sure to purchase your Vim and Vigor for your cat or your dog. And by purchasing Vim and Vigor, that website that I gave you helps show your support of the Pause Cause. What else do we have out there available for you? Well, Dr. Dan Moore and Nature for Life, of course. Be sure and visit www.thenaturalpetvet.com/thepausecause and purchase products from this website to help support our show. The Michigan Michigan Summit is always a fun place to socialize and meet new people in a relaxed, calm, spiritual atmosphere with vendors that range anything from staff to gemstones to products for your pets. For more information on how you can visit the Michigan Summit, please visit http://michigansummit.tripod.com. We're always huge supporters of Maria Danes, and she did our theme song. So to find out more about Maria Danes and Cornwell's Voice for Animals, please visit www.maria-danes.com and www.myspace.com/CVFA. Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area also has a pet directory called DFW Pets Directory. To purchase your copy or to find out more about it, please visit www.cfwpetdirectory.com. DogsForDogs.com has on sale right now Scared Poopless. We did a show with Jan Rasmussen and we had so much fun. So please visit DogsForDogs.com and purchase your copy of Scared Poopless today. American Dogs of Distinction. The first edition book is coming out soon. So to find out more or to nominate your pet for the next edition that's coming out, please visit www.american-dog-of-distinction.com. Now back to the show.
And welcome back. And it is our pleasure to have with us right now, Richard Witherill. You are online and you are live on the World Wide Internet. Welcome to the show, Richard. Now we know how to do this.
All right. How did that work out? Was the call-in feature goofed up? Or?
I have no idea. It must be because it was really messed up last week. So I guess I'm going to get with Blog Talk Radio and see what's going on with that. And because I clicked you on there, we could hear you talking into your phone, but you could not hear us.
No, I didn't hear anything of you guys. I heard like silence. Song and all that. And then after the theme song, you went straight to silence.
Really? You didn't even hear me talking at all.
I heard nothing from you. I heard the theme song, and then I heard a barrage of commercials, /, /, the commercials, but actually live speaking, I heard none.
Oh, wow. I wonder what happened out there in real life. I wonder if they can even hear us talk now.
I don't know. I hope so.
Well, we're going to have to talk to these people and find out what's going on because they can hear all the files that are uploaded, but obviously they can't hear what's going on. But phone line open, people. We can try this and see if we can get you in to talk to us. Otherwise, get yourselves into the chat room, and you guys can ask your questions via the chat room. And all you have to do there, it won't even cost you a dime. All you do is just click over into the, I think it's green. Yeah, there's a little in the profile section homepage of blogtalkradio.com/thepawscause. It says chat available. Just click on that, and that will get you into our chat room. And you can relay your messages back and forth. My husband's manning the chat room for us. And so, yeah. And now we have 40 minutes remaining. How much fun are we having now, Richard?
Oh, quite a bit. I didn't hear your voice over the internet either. I heard me echoing back through the internet, but I didn't hear you saying anything over the net.
Oh, my gosh.
When I logged on and I was typing into the computer trying to type the message.
I'm an internet vampire.
I couldn't hear you. I was 2 seconds later, I'd hear my voice come through with a delay, but I wasn't hearing any sound coming out of you when I clicked on the listen to it live on your webpage.
Okay, that's really scary. I'm going to have to talk to them and see what we can't do because I had a whole spiel about who I was, all technology, thinking, blogtalk.com, blah, 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 yada, yada. Next week's show, Dr. Paula Terrify. Well.
Let me try again. Okay, clicking back on. Click to listen. Maybe be having some serious technical difficulties today.
That must be. But that's okay. We can start talking about dogs because I'm still recording it on this end anyway. So we'll at least have a show coming up on the podcast internet site. If it doesn't want to go live with us, fine. We do our own show.
That'll work. Yeah, I don't hear anything coming through over the actual listen to the show portion online.
Oh, well. Okay, then. Maybe, hopefully, other people are. We will pretend like they are. Okay? Because it said we are. So we'll just take their word for it.
Yeah, because I would think I'd be able to hear you over the net, right?
You should be able to.
I can't even hear my smell either. Well, I'm not getting anything coming off that. Wow. Well, you're having some serious technical difficulties.
But I know last week people were listening in, so I don't know. Hard telling.
Log into the chat room. Let us know.
Yeah. If you can hear us, let us know. If not, let us know that too. On with the show. We're still going to go on with this show. So, anyway, we are here. It's Daycare Gone Dog Wild, show number 47, live with Richard Witherill. And we have you run, manage, own Paws Dog Daycare. So tell me a little bit about that.
Paws Dog Daycare is primarily a dog daycare facility. We also offer boarding and grooming, ideally it's your typical daycare for dogs, very similar to what people would have. Individuals drop their pets off between 7 and 9 o'clock in the morning on their way to work. There's often a day playing tug of rope and ball and up down and playing with us, rolling around on the floor and doing all kinds of silly stuff. Towards the end of the day, and then around 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, if people start getting off work, they start meandering in and picking up their nice, tired, happy, emotionally satisfied pups and taking them home to go to sleep.
With a nice, clean house that the puppy or dog has not torn up because of anxiety, separation anxiety syndrome.
Dog daycare is much cheaper than a new couch.
Yeah, that is so true. You're also an entrepreneur because I see you talk about expanding it there on your website.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Ideally, there's, and just from a business aspect of it, there's as much of a market locally as there is for individuals that really want to get into this business. And there's a lot of pet lovers out there, a lot of people that, you know, have the wherewithal to manage this business, but they don't know really where to start to get into it. You know, and that's one of the things that I try and provide on one of the sites, on the business services side of my site. I try to explain to people how they can get into this business, what the steps to take are, you know, how to research the zoning, the licenses, what it's actually really like, you know, trying to spell them that it's playing with dogs all day, and emphasize there's really a lot of work in it. And just like any other business, it's got to be run sound business principles, otherwise you'll fail. It's not a build it and they will come. It's build it and advertise and work and provide certain services and link services together so that everything seems to complement itself so it generates revenue.
And networking, it really helps. And I found one of the things that really helps are all like the MySpace and live video, places like that where you can meet people, have friends. There's a new one called Yui out there. A lot of these internet connection places, you can connect with a lot of people on that too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And really what we're trying to do right now with the website is we're, aside from just making it solely about doggy daycare, we're actually trying to offer a lot of information, like how-tos for grooming, you know, everything you'd want to know about grooming dogs and certain breeds, and we're going to move from that into training out, you know, how to train out specific behaviors, how to encourage certain behaviors. Because there seems like, even when I first started the dog daycare, there seems to be like a little secret society trying to hold all the information in. And I'm one of the ones that, you know, I'll type it up and I'll put the information out there so that people know. Dog daycare, they wanted to charge you $199 or $399 for a guide to start it, you know, like an operations manual. And I thought that was unreasonable. So my business services for our site, or business services side of our site, there's like 97 pages of the dog daycare startup manual that I wrote. And that covers everything, how to price your services, how to break down the demographics of your area to determine if it'll really support this type of business. There's a lot of information there. The main thing is, in this business, you have to love dogs, because there are days when they will try you and they'll test you, and if you don't love them, you will definitely wash out. But it's a lot of fun. It really is a lot of fun getting to play with these guys all day long and hang out with them, and they all have different personalities, and their moms and dads all have different personalities, and watch and interact with each other, and get a chance to really see the pack dynamic and how intelligent, feeling, and what social creatures they really are. You really gain an appreciation for their intelligence, and you get to work, you know, with a group of 30 or 40 of them day in and day out. All right, your turn.
Oh, I just find it interesting. What made you decide to start a doggy daycare?
I guess for the same reason that a lot of people get into it. You want to do something, but you want to do something that you enjoy and something that you love. The reason is that I'm of the mindset that I would never make an employee for somebody else. I did 9 years in the tour, and I learned a lot of leadership there, but I was always born a natural leader. I was always the guy, even when I was a teenager, I was always the guy getting other guys to do other stuff, getting other people to do stupid things. I was always the group leader. And when I came out in the civilian world, I just couldn't ever be an employee of anybody else. I always wanted to do my own thing. I always wanted to be in charge and call the shots and take the responsibility and deal with the people. I had to combine two things, being a leader and doing something that I love. And the other benefit was that in my area, Port Charlotte, there was no facility like this. When I got out of the Marine Corps, I was a trainer in the area for 3 years. And one of the biggest cries that I heard was that there was nowhere specifically designed for pet comfort or pet luxury. We're primarily a retirement community here. It's 150,000 people. But if somebody wanted to have their pet boarded, had to take it to a veterinary office. And the accommodations that consisted of a crate with a towel put over the front of it so the dogs would be quiet during working hours in the veterinary office. The other option they had available to them was to take it about 10 miles down to the road, which is like 6 blocks from a landfill, to a competing boarding place that is like your standard, your stereotypical old-time boarding facility that has the concrete floors and the drab Alcatraz walls and chain link with the indoor-outdoor portion and the guillotine run in the front. And social interaction at that place consisted of the handlers coming down and putting food bowls in once a day and then washing the pee off, twice a day. There was really nothing in my area designed specifically for the dogs with their emotional health and their feelings and what they wanted in mind. It was all designed for economy. So that's the reason that I really got into it here in this area. It worked out. It was a great combination, and it's a niche market, and I have no competition in the area, so it worked out well.
That also helps. Now, explain to me the process of when someone comes to you and wants you to become their dog sitter. What is the process? Because I noticed there was an application and everything on your website. So can you kind of tell us the qualifications and the requirements to be able to enter into doggy daycare?
Generally, they're fairly standardized throughout the industry. It's still a fairly small industry. And there's a lot of like mom and pop shops that kind of cut some corners on some things. But yes, the correct way that it should be done is all dogs have to be vaccinated, of course. They have to have rabies. In Florida, we go with the DHLPP, adding the yellow for leptospirosis, which is a primary down here in the southern environment where I'm at. It's a problem down here. They would need rabies, DHLPP, and then Bordetella, which is your kennel cough. The other qualifications they need is that every dog coming into the facility, before he's allowed to go into the play areas and actually socialize or play with the other dogs, they have to undergo a temperament test. And the reason that we do that is we cannot risk taking any dogs in here that are aggressive. There's a lot of people that their dogs are their children. And, you know, I can't bring him into an environment that would be hostile by taking an aggressive dog. So each dog undergoes a temperature and a screening. And the way the screening is done is that people will generally check their dog in on the day of their temperament test between 7 and 9, like they would any regular day of doggy daycare. We'll take the dog to a separate area, it's about 150 square feet, and we'll introduce him or her to one of the silly dogs, which is generally a foster dog that we have here. We foster for a lot of different rescue organizations, or one of my own personal dogs that I'm comfortable with. I know their temperament. They're non-retaliatory, meaning if it was an aggressive dog and it went after them, they wouldn't retaliate. And we observe how those two interact with each other for about 10 minutes. Then we'll bring some food, i.e. a treat, into the equation. And we'll bring a toy into the equation to make sure they're not food possessive or toy aggressive. If all goes well, we'll spend another 10 minutes, and we'll bring another dog into the equation and repeat the same process. All goes well, we'll do the same thing with another dog, up until we get the customer dog and four of our dogs here. Then we'll observe for about 30 minutes. All still goes well, at that time we'll integrate him into the play area, and we'll watch him for about 2 hours to make sure he's not going to be a danger to himself or others. If all goes well, then we'll go ahead at that time, take a photo of him, print out his membership card, and he's in.
That seems pretty simple.
It's pretty simple. It's a very straightforward process, but a necessary process. And it's something that needs to be taken seriously. And in my experience working with dogs professionally prior to opening this business, I think that it's something that you really have to know what you're looking for. You have to know what postures you're looking for, the different dog postures, what actions, so you don't inadvertently bring in an aggressive dog. There's a lot of dogs that'll play it really cool, for the first day, and then, it just may be in, so they can snap out of another dog. And you've got animals that are by a million years worth of instinct to train them, or not instinct, what's the word I'm looking for? Evolution. These guys probably use evolution to turn them into finely tuned killers. You know, they've got extended canine teeth, and they can tear through skin and flesh pretty quick. So in the event that a fight happens, things that need stitches happen in milliseconds. When they actually lash out seriously to bite each other, they can put a hole in each other that requires 10 or 15 stitches inside of a half a second. So you've really got to be on your guard to make sure that you only take in dogs that are happy. You know, they want to be here. And the flip side of that is that it's not just aggressive dogs. You have to watch out for dogs that have missed that critical socialization window when they were puppies. Generally between 8 to 19 weeks. Great time if you want to socialize them, get them out, take them to Walmart, take them to Lowe's, take them anywhere you can take them, to the dog park, your local park, the beach, anywhere that'll allow them, that'll meet new people, meet new dogs, meet cats, meet everything. Because if you don't, they actually get to a point when they come into a doggy daycare, terrifying. It's a horrible experience for them. Scared, they're in the corner. They'll try and urinate on themselves because they're scared. You know, they've got all these dogs and they've never seen anything like this before, and you can't risk taking those guys in either because they're generally afraid of the situation. And as a result of their fear, you know, they may lash out at the dog, and then another dog, being a dog, may retaliate, which will serve to reinforce first dog's natural fear of the other animal. So it's kind of like a big soap opera sometimes dealing with them all.
I bet. Do you segregate all the dogs from all sizes, or do you keep like the little dogs with the little dogs, and the medium dogs with the medium dogs, and the larger dogs with the larger dogs?
Yeah, we separate them by size. That's for safety reasons primarily. Dogs are disproportionately strong, and if you were to mix the big guys, the little guys, and some kind of altercation were to happen, it's entirely possible that a big guy could kill a little guy before you could do anything about it. So they're all separated by size. And the other thing is that they generally tend to feel more secure and safer around guys their own size, and wrestling around and tussling around on the floor is fun, and there's no risk of injury if you have a Great Dane trying to wrestle around on the floor with a beagle. Even if they're both sociable animals, when you've got a 19-pound dog and a 100-pound dog, even in play mode, the smaller guys have a natural disadvantage and a higher propensity of being injured just through play. So we definitely keep them separated by size. And we also have an area for geriatrics here in my particular area, like I said, retirement community, so we have a lot of old dogs as well. So we have an area where we keep the older guys, they can all sit around and talk about the old days, and it's a little slower crowd, and they seem to enjoy it. All right, hit me. What's next?
You're doing so well. Okay, so let's get into some of the more tougher questions, like breed-specific legislation and breed-specific. Do you have any pit bulls? Are you guys discriminative against pit bulls, leery of pit bulls? Do you allow them in there? Do you have a majority of them in there? Talk to me.
I'm going to give you a street scoop on pit bulls.
That'll work.
I've worked professionally for a number of years in the military and in the civilian world. And as a trainer, what I primarily did was behavior modification. For dogs that the owner had inadvertently raised them wrong or humanized them a little too much, and they had gotten aggressive or dominant or territorial of the house, and I met aggressive pit bulls, I met aggressive chihuahuas, aggressive dachshunds, in all of my calls, and probably 300-400 different times I went to people's houses, I think I went to 2 pit bulls. And I have a lot of experience with the breed. Pit bulls are generally very, very sweet dogs. They're tremendously sweet, tremendously loving dogs. They're naturally dog aggressive, not all of them, but it seems to be a great percentage of them that are aggressive towards the dogs, but not necessarily people. The problem with pit bulls is not the pit bull. The problem with pit bulls is people. And the thing about dogs, and I want people to understand, the dog can be whatever you want it to be. When it's first born and its little eyes are still closed, you know, it's a blank slate at that moment. So from that moment on, until it gets to be an adult, you can have a chance to shape it and mold it. You can make it sweet or you can make mean. You know, everything that has to do it is in the hands of the human. It's the human's responsibility to make the dog, you know, a sweet, social, loving member of society. As far as pit bulls go, I can't openly accept them at the facility, and there's nothing, and I have personally nothing against pit bulls. It's the social stigma that goes along with them. And when you're in a business such as I am, where the majority of your customers are golden retrievers and Australian shepherds and lab mixes and collies, and regardless of whether or not I had a pit bull in there as the sweetest, nicest, loving pit bull in the world, when the first customer first comes to my door and you ask me to show them my facility and you give them a tour, if they look over the walls in the play area and they see a pit bull, that's always going to be in their mind. And it's going to create a negative association with the customer. They don't want to associate or have the vision of their dog playing with a pit bull because of the presses and the media's portrayal of the breed. So they get a very, very bad rep. So because of the social stigma, I can't have them in my facility. And I personally think that it shouldn't be that way, but we are running a business. And when we're running a business, we have to appeal to the masses, not the minority. And the minority being is, you know, there's only a few people in the area of pit bulls. The majority of people that, you know, own other breeds of dogs that are assumed to be more friendly or more social, and they're primarily my clientele. So I would be alienating probably 80% of my customers if I was to start accepting pit bulls.
And that's sad. I totally understand where you're coming from. And I agree with you on the pit bull issue because I love pit bulls. And really, there's a need out there for pit bulls to be socialized as well. It's really important for those of us who believe in the pit bull to show, you know, the good side of pit bull and try to establish a new revolution for the pit bull, because I think they're loving and wonderful pets, and you're right, they're made into being vicious, horrible animals by people like Michael Vick and Deshaun Brown and other horrible evil people like that.
I'm the deep south. I was born in Athens, Georgia, then we lived in Clark County, and when I was a kid growing up, it was not uncommon for farmers to have, or, you know, this typical, stereotypical rig, the big four-wheel drive, the Confederate flag in the back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Dog fights was not, it wasn't talked about in secrecy. There were a lot of people that were involved in that, and that was, you know, like a machismo, macho thing. People talking about how tough their dogs were. And I'm from that particular region of the country, and as well with my age, I grew up at a time when that was still more open to be talked about, and I didn't agree with it then. But there's still no excuse for it. And I've had a heck of a time even convincing my customers to accept Holly. Holly, and I think I told you in an email, she's a pit bull. She's here at the facility.
Yeah, that's the one that you sent me the picture of, right?
I believe so. She came in here at 8 weeks old.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Part of a broken dog fighting ring, and all the others had to be euthanized, and they wanted to give her a second chance, so they turned her over to a rescue organization that had never dealt with pit bulls before, who we worked with for a number of years, and they in turn turned her over to us to get her socialized and turn her sweet and everything else, and she is just the most loving, sweet, kind, cutest little dog in the world, and, that's really sad to have a lot of people because we're constantly running ads to try and find, you know, a suitable home for the dogs we foster. So we have the facility has 5 fosters right now from various rescue organizations, Great Dane Rescue, Ears Animal Rescue Society. There's a few other that we foster dogs for free for. But a lot of people come in and they, you know, because I probably get customer traffic 30 or 40 people a day. They'll come in and they'll go, oh, what a cute puppy. How beautiful. What a sweet, loving little puppy. My sibling for puppy. What puppy is this? Lots of a pit bull. Okay, never mind.
Isn't that sad? As soon as you say the word pit bull, they're like, oh, no.
Nope, nope, nope. They got kids. You know, that kind of stuff.
I know. I'm like, I have the cutest dogs. Oh, and Paw's Claws puppy is so cute. Guess what I'm teaching it to do?
What's that?
It's just so funny. Because everybody knows by now that I hate animal abuse. So I've got her to wear, his name's Macias. He's white and he has some light beige spots on him. He's just so adorable. He's Chihuahua, Jack Russell Terrier, and Pomeranian mix. Cute little booger. So he's going to be tiny. He's 6 weeks old tomorrow. And he's so adorable, and I'm teaching him how to growl whenever I say the word animal abuse. So I say, what do you think about animal abuse? And I'll kind of tickle his back, and he'll go, arr, arr. I go, now, what do you think about Michael Vick? And he'll go, arr, 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 arr. It's so cute. And I just touch him on certain spots of his back to do that. And then I'll go, what a good boy. And I praise him. So he can show off, you know, it like functions when we go places and say, this is what I think about animal abuse. And this is what I think about dog fighting. I'm against it. Arr. Isn't that cute? I'm also teaching him how to do paws up. So I know you work a lot with dogs.
Mm-hmm.
What would you, what is your suggestions on training puppies?
To do what?
Socializing them and getting them to where they're non-aggressive and like your opinion on the proper way to train a puppy.
The biggest thing with puppies is that what works against puppies, oddly enough, is that they're cute. And the problem is that people want to pick them up and snuggle them and humanize them. Try and give them a lot of emotions that they actually don't have. For example, you have a puppy that's scared or skittish. You know, maybe scared, skittish, or even acting out by biting due to the fact that it's scared or skittish. We as humans, our natural instinct is to coddle the dog and pick it up and tell it it'll be okay. What we're actually doing is we're reinforcing that behavior. We're saying to the dog, okay, I act scared and skittish, and I act out by growling, and they pet me. Okay, I can get this down, so I act scared and skittish, and I act out, and they pet me. Okay, I continue to do this. Puppies they're a blank slate. You've got to have rules for them when they're young like that. One good thing is no bites. When they jump up and they try and bite, you know, you just gently push them down and tell them no bites. And you've got to take them everywhere. You know, they need to be like an accessory, like your watch. They need to go everywhere with you, especially when they're puppies. You know, if you're going out to McDonald's, take them out with you. You know, drive through the drive-thru. Let them meet the drive-thru people. You know, they need to meet your neighbors. They need to meet other dogs. And one of the things that I really think that hurts a lot of dogs is that people get a single puppy, and you've got to kind of, you're bringing an animal out. That nature has instilled it with its own set of rules, its own set of guidelines, its own set of, you know, behavior patterns. And then you have an individual family that now tries to raise the dog with human rules and human values and human behavioral problems. It just doesn't work. You can't raise a dog to be a human. And you can't expect a dog to think a human. You can, however, get a human to think like a dog if they do the research and they really get into trying to understand what makes dogs tick. Socialization is a big thing. It's sad because see, a lot of people, they get one puppy, and they go about it wrong. They inadvertently reward the wrong behaviors, and they'll let the dog up on the furniture when he's a puppy, and they'll do a lot of things that'll instill dominant or things that can later turn into aggressive behaviors. Especially as a puppy, they need to be able to wrestle around and tussle with other dogs, because by doing that, they learn bite inhibition. They learn how hard to bite. They learn what it's like to be bit, and not in the fighting sense, but in their play. The majority of dog play is actually, if you notice, is actually symbolic or like a mock attack or mock fighting kind of play. And mm-hmm. that's learning for them. That's learning the process, learning how to wrestle, learning how to hunt, learning how to, how hard to bite, how hard not to bite. You know, they're learning social etiquette at that point. Puppies will get scolded by older dogs. I think the biggest trick to raising a puppy right is to first, before you cuddle it and baby it, have rules. And make sure that everybody in the family knows the rules. Make sure everybody in the family uses the same words. You can't have one person saying down and the other person saying off. The puppy doesn't know. Everybody's got to be consistent. You've got to have rules. I'm not saying being ogre to the dog or be non-affectionate, but I'm saying at that critical learning stage in the life, have rule guidelines so that, when it's 6 pounds and it's 7 pounds, it's cute, but when it's 70 or 80 pounds, being, dominant behaviors, then it's not cute anymore. Then it's a problem. And the way to avoid from that happening is to start it on a structured path when it's young. When it's doing something right, laying down and being calm or giving you kisses, give it all the love in the world. Give a doggy kiss, a little lick your ears, it doesn't matter, but just don't inadvertently enforce negative behavior. If the puppy's sitting on somebody's lap and somebody else sits down and it growls, don't interpret it as, the puppy loves mama so much that it growls everybody. No, the puppy's starting to have dominant behavior to where it thinks it owns mama and it's defending its territory from anybody else that comes near. It's really in how you look at it, but it's, rule, structure, love, and socialization. That'll raise a puppy right every time. And people have to have a commitment to want to raise it right. So many people get dogs or puppies and it's, when they're a puppy, it's cute, but nobody seems to accept the realization that every puppy becomes a dog. And then when it becomes a dog, then it's not cute anymore. Now it's just a responsibility. So then they end up at the shelter because they didn't raise them right. They're chewing on the furniture. And, it's not fair to the dog. When you get a dog as a puppy, or even if you get a dog from the pound, you make a commitment to that dog that you're going to take care of it for the rest of its life, just as it makes a commitment to you, that it's only going to judge you by the merit of your deeds. A dog will never judge you on your finance, your status, or anything else. It'll just judge you on how much you love it. That's it. It's the purest, simplest kind of love in the world. And getting kind of long-winded here, maybe off topic, but...
No, that's okay. You're doing great.
I feel strongly about their emotions, especially in this business. You see it so much, when you deal with dogs commercially. You would have taken them on the wrong path. And even when I was a trainer, going to people's houses, and it tears your heart out because you've got the husband that loves the dog to death. I mean, just loves the dog like it was his own son. And he's got the wife who is terrorized by the dog because they raised it, by enforcing the wrong behaviors, and now the dog's acting aggressive towards the wife. Now he's got this situation where it's tearing the family apart. His wife's in fear of dogs around. It's an ugly situation. It ends up with them both crying and trying to turn the dog over, and it's all these things that could have been prevented had they made the commitment to do it right the first time before it became 90 or 100 pounds, and now it's, now it's not a puppy anymore. Now it's a force to be reckoned with. I don't know. I just, I get really, really frustrated with people that make a, for lack of a better term, a half-assed commitment when it comes to taking a dog into their family. I got one from the pound. His name was Trouble. And I have no idea what his name Trouble, but that's his name that he came with. When I got him from the pound, he's a ruler something mix. And he was an extremely aggressive dog when I got him. Nobody else wanted to take him. He was about to be euthanized. So I figured I could handle him. And we had some go-arounds with him acting aggressive and dominant with towards me at first, but that was 5 years ago. And, you know, just that commitment that, and knowing that I made that commitment that I picked him in the pound and I'm going to shoulder my responsibility to hold him out throughout his life, you know, he's the sweetest dog that's one of the best dogs I've had. And he comes to the facility on a daily basis and meets him in a lobby and wags his tail and, you know, all that aggressive, all that hate is gone. It took, you know, commitment to work it out of him and get rid of it and just let him know that we're not gonna tolerate that kind of behavior and there's no need for it. You know, you're not gonna be threatened. There's no need for animosity. And he's in an environment where me and my wife love him to death and he reciprocates and gives us back that love 100 times better than I could give it to him. There's no way to quantify the purity of love that a dog can give you. It's pretty awe-inspiring when you really think of the fact they're just animals, so to speak, but the wide variety in range and depth of emotion that they can have and the devotion that they can have to their master. An Australian Shepherd that I got left. By the way, I'm very partial to Australian Shepherds. They're my favorite breed, if anybody ever asked. I said another one is just the quality of the devotion and the love that he gives me and my wife is just it's beyond comparison.
I know one of my favorite things is I heard someone say this, and I find it so true. And it's you take the same dog. You put it in a different family, and it won't. And you raise it differently; it won't be the same dog.
Oh no, absolutely.
And I think that's a really good point to understand that you need, you know, they need structure, they need to be guided. And I love the way that you put that, and the way to train. One of the things I love the fact that both the cat and the dog that we chose to be the PawsCause pets. And to be the spokes animals of all animals across the world for the PawsCause team, were born right here in the house. So we were able to train them from day one and get them socialized and be around people. And see us right now, I sit there, I'll make kissing noises. And when in, he'll come running immediately. He'll come running. And we give him praises so that he knows that, you know, that's a good thing. We want him to come, and we have everybody doing it who comes over so that he knows to be socialized to everyone, because we have some big plans for that little guy. He's going to be tiny, and we have some big plans for him, as in we're putting him in Dog Scouts of America, and he's going to be a little dog scout, and he's going to be trained in agility through the 4-H. And so he's going to have some, you know, he's going to have some fun going on. We have 4 minutes remaining. We do have listeners that can hear us. So we're not just talking to air, which is good. So tell the people how they can get in touch with you. And we're going to have you on again, by the way. Without the technical difficulties, we'll do this again, say maybe November. I also offered you that position for a weekly segment. Have you given that any thoughts?
Definitely. Right now we're looking at the schedule and seeing what we can do to make that actually a reality. For those who are interested in reaching me, they can go to pawdogdaycare.com for information if they'd want to start a dog daycare. If they just have general dog questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them for them. Or you can reach me by phone, which is 941-258-DOGS, which is 401-258-3347. Again, that's pawsdogdaycare.com. And back to the original dog thing, I think the greatest trick to raising them right is you have to be devoted. You've got to be emphatic in your devotion to you know, to provide them love and make it happen, and don't get angry at them. Make mistakes. And understands the majority of the mistakes they make as an adolescent or an adult are things that you taught them to do. They're only doing what they've learned to do. And it's up to you to learn them to do something different and unlearn what they don't want them to do. Never get angry at them. You know, a strong word, no, is more than enough. And there's never a need to put your hands on them or snatch them up or anything like that. You know, that scene train is you're frustrated at and try and yoke them up by the collar and do all this other kind of thing. It doesn't communicate anything but violence. It communicates threat. It doesn't teach the dog anything. It just shows what an ignorant bastard the trainer is, so to speak. I said you can get a lot more done with love than you can with hate, and that just goes back to the saying, you get a lot more bees with honey than you can with vinegar, and the same thing works for training dogs and dealing with dogs. Be emphatic, be loving, be dedicated, and be understanding, and have a true commitment to getting on the right path, and it'll work out. And if you don't feel you can handle it, the presence of mind to contact a professional trainer. You know, maybe they'll be able to share some insight with you to help you log on the right track. Don't just give up on them and turn them over to the shelter.
Well, thank you so much, Richard, for being with us. And I'm sorry for the problems we had at the beginning of the show. We're going to reschedule a new show. How about November?
Sure.
How about the last Saturday in November?
That works. See, I told you I was chatty. I can keep going.
Okay, so we'll do it then.
All right.
And I'm going to start closing out the show. And so be sure to mark your calendars because Richard's coming back again on November 20th. I believe it's the 24th. Yes, November 24th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, the USA. And I would like to thank you all for listening in today and bearing with us as we learn our new system. And I'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors once again for their continued support. To show your support of our show, please visit our sponsors' sites by purchasing products and services from our sponsors. You are helping to support show your support of the Paws Cause show. So just visit our website at www.thepawscause.net. Be sure to change those S's to Z's, please, to get to the right place. Then locate our sponsors in the left-hand sidebar about midway down. Just click on their logo to go to the site. A variety of sponsors, so there's something for everyone. And keep your eyes open for our membership programs to be revealed. While you're at our website, be sure to locate our newsletter sign-up section at the top right bar between our mottos. This way, you know immediately what we have for you to watch or listen to, and you will never miss a thing from our Paws Alerts, which can be located on the left-hand side bar, to our Paws Applause Awards. You can stay up to date with important animal issues happening all the world. And if you have a missing pet, a pet you want featured in our new Best Friend of the Month section, or you have someone to nominate for our Paws Applause, please email me at leigh, at thepawscause.net. And don't forget those S's. I changed them to Z because I didn't know how to spell. Someone needs to teach me, please. Now, this is Lee Foster asking you to help eliminate animal abuse. For mercy's sake, please call 911 to report any and all cases of animal abuse and or neglect. Also, if you suspect anybody in your neighborhood of possessing a dog that is for fighting, or promoting pit bull fighting, or even suspect that they are mistreating their dogs and teaching them to fight, please call 911. Your call can not only save the life of an animal, can put a person behind bars that needs to be there. And you can help change the world by helping that one animal. So this is Lee Foster saying until next time, paws up, everyone.
Looking for natural pet products can be exhausting. Hundreds of sites all telling you they have the best for your pets. Well, here are a few of our sponsored sites that offer natural products that I use on my own pets. Check them out and see what you think. Natural Pet Vet at www.thepawscause.net. naturalpetvet.com/thepawscause with those S's changed to Z's, please. Witch's Brew for Pets, which can be found at www.fosters-forum.com, and Nature's Paws at www.naturespaws.com/LeeFoster, spelled capital L-E-I-G-H, capital F-O-S-T-E-R. For expert pet advice, I always turn to my friend, Dr. Sean Mesnay. Check out his website to view or purchase some of his awesome books, www.petcarenaturally.com. One of Dr. Sean's favorite supplements, and mine too, is Vim and Vigor for cats and dogs. Please check it out at www.pettogethers.net/thepawscause. With those S's being Z's, of course. Dallas-Fort Worth area is very lucky because you guys have quick, easy access to DFW Pets Directory. The rest of us need to order it. To get your copy, be sure to go to www.dfwpetsdirectory.com and be sure to tell them that the Pause Cause sent you. For all of your spiritual needs, please visit Rebecca's Crossroads online at www.thecrossroadsbookstore.com. We are honored to hold some live shows at this year's Michigan Summit. This is always my favorite event. For more information on attending, so perhaps you can be a part of the show, please visit http://michigansummit.trypod.com. And are you in need of an animal communicator or a hands-on healer for animals? Then please visit my friend, world-renowned Judy Byers. She is phenomenal. You can find Judy at www.animalechoes.com or www.healinghandsforanimals.com. Tell her the Pause Cause sent ya. Singing sensation Maria Danes has generously given us our theme song. We want to be sure to acknowledge her. We love Maria, and we are so excited about our theme song. To see more of Maria's work, please visit www.maria-danes.com, and that is spelled M-A-R-I-A-D-A-I-N-E-S. And in closing, the Pause Cause wants to thank Renee Williams for creating our logo and Mary Alice Pollard of Cornwall's Voice for Animals for creating our banner.
Pause up, everybody. It's Lee Foster, host of Pause Cause. I wrote a poem. I aired it on September 28th, and we had such an enormous response from you guys. It was huge. I could not believe it. We had people wanting it to be downloaded to just the poem. So here's the poem. So you guys download it. You guys will also be able to copy and paste or copy and print out a copy of the poem words. So those rappers out there who are dying to get a hold of it and become known for the Pause Cause poem and putting it to rap, here you guys go. And you guys will be supplied with the words. And you guys put the rap to it. I will use that as an alternative Pause Cause theme. So how does that sound, guys? So come on, rappers. I want to hear from you. And here's the poem. My name is Lee Foster, and it's a beautiful day. When you hear Pause Up, no show is underway. If you abuse animals, you'd better run, because if I catch up to you, I'll rip out your tongue. I fight animals, big and small, even those who can't even crawl. The Pause Cause is the name of my show. We're out filming in rain, sleet, and snow. Mercy was the first of many we see. Her story touched the soul is out of me. I will not stop till the day I die trying to save the animals that humans make cry. So if you torch animals, look over your shoulder. The host of the Paws Cause will hit you like a boulder. Paws up, everyone, and thanks for your interest in my poem. I can't wait to hear the rap versions of this poem. We'll upload them all with permission of the artist, and then we'll let you, the audience, decide which rap song you guys like the best to be our alternate Paws Cause theme song. So there you have it. Rappers, get with it, because I'd really like to see a rap version of this poem. And then we'll have two theme songs, the one by Maria Danes and Paul Killington, and then this one, the rap version. Thanks, everyone, for your interest in the Paws Cause. The Paws Cause teams love you. I love you. God bless you. The animals love you, too. Paws up, everyone.
This is the place to fight a cause for feathers, hooves, and those lovable paws. This is the place to hear it out. Animals matter, animals count. If you want a debate, you want to support, have your say on animal laws. Here's the show, please in the know. Give us your thoughts with a Paws Cause.